Hi, and welcome to the first podcast by Praise Charts, where we're going to be talking about click tracks. My name is Ryan Dahl, and I'm the president and founder of Praise Charts, and I'm here with two of my good friends, Josh Luva and Corey Alstead, both of whom are full-time worship pastors. So welcome to the show, Corey and Josh.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Josh is actually my own worship pastor at Victory Christian Center in Surrey, British Columbia. He has a number of songs available on Praise Charts from our recent live recording called Majesty. So you can hear some of his songs at praisecharts.com/majesty. Their title track, actually, from that album was picked up by Integrity Music and featured on their Global Worship Now collection, Cover the Earth. So that was great to hear it there. Josh? So Victory Christian Center actually is what I would consider a very media and technology-driven ministry. I sometimes think our pastor is a 20-year-old stuck inside a 50-year-old body, but it's a very exciting place to be. The entire worship and media department at our church there is really characterized by a standard of excellence. And Josh, I was always thinking you probably really appeal to Pastor John so much because you have a passion and excellence in music and technology, something that is only surpassed by your passion for God. So I really appreciate all that you do at our church. And that's why I wanted to have you a part of this podcast here. I was having dinner with Josh actually last night. We were out at having a hamburger together. And just as we were talking about, you know, worship ministry and music and stuff like that, it just dawned on me that you would be the perfect person to sit in on this session with us. So I'm really glad to have you, and I know you'll have a lot to offer. And Corey is the worship pastor here at North Langley Community Church, where we are recording this podcast. In fact, what's unique is I'm sitting right now in the office where I used to be worship pastor at this church. So, Corey, great to be back in your office, your own place here. Yeah. In fact, it was out of my ministry here at this church in the late 90s that I was struggling to find music to resource my growing praise band, and that's when we started Praise Charts. So here we are almost 10 years later, and a few worship pastors have come and gone, I might add. But when Corey arrived last year, we became good friends, and now we have had the chance to sing and play together a few times, so it's been great. A few months ago, I asked Corey if he would be willing to apply some of his talent and skill to producing this new series of resources we are developing for Praise Charts called Click Tracks. He's been doing just an amazing job. He's got a lot of skill and talent on the synthesizer and the different tools that we're going to be talking about. So great to have you here on the podcast, Corey.
Thanks. Good to be here, Ryan.
So before we go any further, I think it might be a good idea for us all to get on the same page and talk about exactly what are these click tracks. So Corey, why don't you give us a little idea about what we're talking about when we're talking about click tracks?
Okay, yeah, sure. Click tracks are, they're basically, it's one file. They're like a stereo track MP3 that has a drum click on the one channel, on the one side, I've panned that off all the way to the left. And then there's the music or synthesized loops and stuff coming off on the right side.
To me, it sounds a lot like, remember in the good old days of the 80s and 90s, there's a lot of split tracks where choirs were, you know, buying these things and vocals. So are they like split tracks, kind of? Or?
Well, not really. They're split tracks, I think, would have all of the music, and there would be some singers that would sing along with this. The click tracks are actually uniquely designed to enhance what's already happening in a live setting. And so they'll enhance your band, whether that's you know, an acoustic guitar and piano, or whether it's a full band or orchestra.
So what you're kind of saying then is with a split track, where we've heard them with choir demos and stuff like that, the full band is really playing on the one side, and then on the other side are the vocals, so you bring those up and down, but click tracks are like the whole band is still playing with the track.
That's right. Yeah, click tracks are just specifically designed to just enhance what's going on. So it assumes that there's a full band that's playing along with it, or again, not necessarily full band, but it just sort of it's complementary very much.
Right, so. And you're running the click specifically to the drummer. No one else can hear it, and then the rest of the synthesized sounds are coming out to the congregation.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right on.
That's right. And they're not that new, actually, click tracks. They've been used by a lot of different bands, a lot of, if you go to a concert, like a Delirious concert, I remember going once and hearing their show that was going on, and it was amazing because you could hear, they're obviously playing to click tracks and stuff. They have all these extra kind of instrumental stuff going on. David Crowder uses click tracks all the time in his setting.
So do you actually use click tracks in your church? Or, I mean,
yeah,
what have you been
time.
Doing the last year? You've been putting these together for your worship team? And
that's right, yeah, we use them all the time here at the church. I put them together each week, like I'll put design them for, you know, for whatever the arrangement is for the song, and it's been great. It's been awesome. It tightens up the band like crazy, so it's good.
Josh, how about you? Like, I know at our church we feed a click to the drummer, so sometimes we use a metronome just for the drummer. Do we sometimes use those synthesized kind of click track tracks as well, or what do we do there?
Yeah, sometimes we run the synthesized sound. It depends, because we run to video. So if you're ever running to video, you have to be on time, because words come down and images come down. So we run a Dr. Beat, so we pretty much set everything to a MIDI. So everything's connected MIDI, and so someone hits a trigger and everything gets triggered, video, everything. So yeah, we do run to click track, so everyone's on time with video stuff. And even if it's not, then we just run a Dr. Beat, it's a Roland product.
Right.
So that just keeps us in time. Yeah.
So tell me, Josh, like, what's been your experience with having drummers getting used to playing with a click, or just feeling a little overwhelmed by the technology of going, you know, what's this computer doing in front of my drum stand, or what's this?
I think it's a good step, but anytime you have change, it's going to be difficult, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think being a worship leader, worship pastor, one of the biggest things I want to do is equip my team.
Right.
And so to teach someone to play on time is a huge key for any drummer. And so it not only forces them to stay on time, but it also helps them grow as a musician.
Yeah.
And so I think as worship leaders, we're just trying to take as many distractions aside as we can so that people can worship. And
that's,
I think,
right,
if we can keep people on time, if we can take those distractions away, then we're doing our job.
Right on.
Yeah.
Totally. I was thinking, Corey, as we've been developing these click tracks, that I can just imagine like a drummer downloading these, you know, MP3 to his iPod, and then having maybe a series of 5 or 6 songs in his own basement, you know, just putting the iPod on, cranking it up,
yeah,
and practicing drums, playing to an actual song, an arrangement.
Yeah.
You know, a little more interesting than just playing to a click, because you can,
right,
actually hear some of the, you know, progressions happening, and a great way to rehearse so that the drummer comes. Don't you think that would make the mm-hmm. rehearsal go a whole lot better, Josh, if a drummer came, he was already familiar with the click, and then he's like, ready, yep, let's go, 2-bar intro, and mm-hmm. we're into the song, and
for sure,
band feels confident, so.
Totally,
so
yeah.
Just tell me real briefly how a click track is set up. So, because I notice every time I start one of these click tracks, there's just a metronome happening.
Right.
What's that?
Yeah, what I've done with these click tracks is every time I will give a 2-measure intro, and that's just what I've found is the most helpful. So basically what I'm assuming is that the drummer will listen to the first measure, whatever that may be, whether it's a 4-4, 4-4 measure, or whether it's a 12-8, doesn't matter. It'll always be one measure, and then the drummer counts in the second measure, counts in the band. So in other words, we'll click, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's when the band will kick in.
That's interesting. Well, you know what I was thinking is, you and I, just a few minutes ago, we were recording How Great Is Our God,
yeah,
just as kind of a demo. So
that's,
I thought,
right,
how about if we play that, and maybe we could make it so that we'll play the 2-bar click intro, and
sure,
then play it with the click. Maybe there's a way we could take the click out of it,
yeah,
you know, partway in, so that we can hear how it sounds with the click and then without the click. Just kind of a scratch recording with you and me on piano and guitar,
yeah,
but kind of give a sense of what this can sound like. And then really you can use a click track, you know, in a live setting with just a guitar and piano, or you add the drummer and your full band, even up to a full orchestra,
yeah,
it would still really enhance the sound. So let's listen to that now.
Okay, sounds good. Without without any voices at this point, just to kind of let you hear the instruments. All you hear right now is the shaker and bit of a lead instrument here. You'll hear it coming up here. There, the little drum loop kicks in. And going into the chorus, I think I'll take out the I'll take out the little click tracks. Let's wait a little bit here. There it is. Took that out. Now you hear there's kind of a tambourine in there and a pad as well. So you can see this. Yeah, you can see this works nicely with just guitar and piano or full band as well. Some beautiful strings as well that kind of complement the chorus.
So we can see that there are two fundamental sides of a click track. There's the drum click on the one side and the soundtrack on the other. So I want to just take a little bit of time and talk about the two sides of a click track, because both of them play independently very important roles in helping a band sound better, sound tighter, sound more confident. So Josh, I know you're a drummer, even though that's not your primary instrument. You're a bass player, love to play bass, but you love to have a drummer that plays on time and solidly, and I know we are so blessed at our church to have a whole series of drummers, but I know in our church we've got one drummer who really sets the pace, and he would be kind of like our lead drummer. And the thing about him is he's got such a solid sense of time. And so, Josh, why don't you talk a little bit about how important it is to have a drummer who is able to maintain that sense of rhythm and time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important whenever you're talking about drummers, their key role is to set the tempo, is to push things along. And especially talking about that one drummer in our church, even though he's a great drummer and he does have a great sense of time, there is times that he gets excited and he rushes. And so it just keeps everybody on pace, everybody moving in the same direction. And I think when you rush things, especially in church bands, because we have interchangeable musicians, when you're playing with different musicians, it's not always that tight. And so to really try and tighten that up, when you have a click track, when you have something that's steady that you can focus on, I think it just tightens the band that much more. And so I think it's a real huge key to have a click.
Yeah, just when you're talking there, I'm thinking about how worship songs, just by their nature, are such emotional things. And mm-hmm. so when we get our emotions into a song and then the emotions take over, you get into that chorus and then the emotions kind of want to push you, because you're like, this is so great, let's just get into it.
Yeah,
and then suddenly you find yourself 10 or 20 beats faster, and then you're wondering, why don't I have that same sense of, you know, groove, we call it, in this song? It's like we lost that because the emotions took over. So it's almost like the click keeps our emotions, you know, in check, you might say.
Yeah,
that's right. No emotions in church.
Yeah. We don't want to have that,
yeah.
Would we?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think earlier we mentioned when it comes to click tracks, the way drummers play, one of the challenges that comes with a click track is that they start sounding like the click track. And
right.
Ding, ding, and
emotion,
so you
licks.
Do lose yeah. that emotion. So I think one of the things when working with a click track is to tell the drummers it's there as a guideline, but it's not there to try and sound like. Mm-hmm. And so
right.
going back to even that one, the strongest drummer in our church, when he started playing click tracks, he plays very straight ahead and he almost lost that groove. Mm. I think it's important to really teach your drummers that it's not just about sounding like you need to be on tempo. It's about adding that emotion, because you can still have that emotion in the chorus. You can still push a chorus without going off time. But it's all the way that you play. And I think that it just adds that much more dynamic when you teach a drummer how to do that.
I would think probably if you take a drummer and you just show up at rehearsal and go, okay, you know, Sunday we're doing this song, but this time we're going to start with the click, and you just hand it to him, he's going to sound really mechanical because he's not used to that. It's just like, you know, I mean, I was just recording a little bit of guitar with you, and I don't do that a lot, but, you know, just an hour ago here, Corey, and suddenly when you feel like you're playing, you know, into something else and you're playing according to another person's rhythm, you just, some of that freedom gets taken away until you get used to it. So,
that's right.
So I'd really suggest that, you know, a drummer's got to have an opportunity to get used to playing with a metronome. And, you know, maybe it's just if they don't have, you know, the praise charts, click tracks, at least to go home, make sure you're practicing with a metronome so you're used to working in cooperation with that steady, steady beat. And then you can feel more relaxed and real, but still in time. Wouldn't you say that, you know, that's how you get to that place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I remember the there's been so many instances for me. One in particular when I had this drummer that I was working with out in Manitoba, and he was kind of a bit of a weaker drummer, but he was, I got him playing to click tracks, just a metronome that I pre-recorded for him and for the tempos of the songs, and he, at first he hated it. He was just like, you know, no, oh, I can't do it, you know. And but within like 2 weeks he had transformed. The guy was a different drummer, and he was someone that I would now, I remember thinking to myself, I wouldn't necessarily call this guy to play with me just because he was so, his tempo was so sporadic. But at the end of the 2 weeks, and even for sure by the end of the year, I was like, this guy has, you, and I said this to him, I said, Alan, you've changed. Like, you are an awesome, awesome drummer now. Like, and it sound, he was way tighter just in general, even when he wasn't playing with click tracks, because of the fact that he had played so much with the click track.
Yeah. Well, I would think, you know, just to draw an analogy, like a solid drummer is like building a house on a, you know, that solid foundation. You know, we don't want to take away from like the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is certainly the ground which we lay everything in, but just, would you ever build a house and just put wood, you know, on dirt, and then you start to wonder why the walls are starting to cave in, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
kind of, the drummer's got to know that he is the solid foundation to, you know, providing that sort of rhythmic boundary to a band, and then the whole band is going to wonder, why are we starting to sound so tight, so together, so much more confident, you know. And then I mean, there's so many things that build off of that. When you don't rush a song, when you play it in its intended groove, you know, the Holy Spirit actually can move through the worship, because that's the way the song was intended to be. It's just, there are all those musical elements that God uses.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very spiritual thing too. It's not just a technical musical thing. We're trying to create a resource so that God's Spirit can move, you know, in worship settings. And
and one of our goals is
together.
Yeah, we want to reflect the beauty of God, you know, and that's, and we do that through art, we do that through music and stuff, and so we want to do it as well as we can.
Yeah.
So even just looking at, you know, our praise charts, all of the charts, whether they're chord charts or lead sheets or whatever, we've always got the tempo marking. So if you don't have a click track, at least pay attention to that little number where it says quarter note equals 76 or, you know, 114 or whatever. At least grab a metronome, figure out what that is, and, you know, play to that. So,
yeah.
So, Corey, let's move on to the other side. Just talk now about the drum click. Now let's talk about the sound track, because that becomes the real interesting side of the click track. So tell us a little bit about what are some of the components of that, of the soundtrack.
Sure. Yeah. Depending on the song, of course, like, you know, I'll listen to the song. I've designed each click track very much to kind of keep the vibe of the original song. Right. And you guys have arranged the praise charts, or we've arranged with praise charts to kind of follow the arrangement of the song. And so I've done the same thing with click tracks. And so some of the typical elements would be drum loops in a lot of the song, just good sounding little drum loops, synth sounds, whether that's like kind of pads, or whether it's more like what we call arpeggiators, or whether it's like little lead synth kind of things. And then also song hooks, sometimes depends on the song as well, because often you might be a song where there's a bit of a more challenging hook that, you know, maybe your instrumentalist cannot play. And so with some of the songs I put those hooks in.
A song like, I was just thinking about, you know, Indescribable, that famous one that, you know, Chris Tomlin plays, and it's got that little which isn't that difficult, but, you know, some guitarists might not be able to do that just on the fly.
Yeah.
And at very least, the click track could do it for them. You know, even better is that the musician, like let's say the guitar player, could play along with it and just feel more confident, feel like if he misses a note, you know, it's not there.
That's right.
So the other thing I know is that so many times with synth players, like a synthesizer, a lot of times the church will own the synth and then people will come in and they'll be playing it, but they don't really know, you know, how to make all the arpeggiated sounds or how to even find unique sounds that fit the song because they haven't taken the synth home and, you know, worked through the 100 buttons on the thing. So so there's so many things that are just hard to pull off in a live setting, which you've been able to implement onto these click tracks. And it's not that difficult for you because you know your synth. You've taken some time with the song. And it can just, it's like adding color to, you know, extra color to a page or dimension.
Yeah, that's right. And what's going on, I mean, plus you have the benefit of working in kind of a studio setting where you can make sure that everything is bang on. Like if you have an arpeggiator that you're playing live, the dangerous thing is that you can totally go off rhythm, right? Especially if it's got lots of delay stuff going on.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it, like this is pre-recorded stuff, so of course I'm going to make sure that it's perfect as far as the rhythm. And again, just adds to the tempo of everything else.
I think we want to emphasize again that click tracks are not designed to replace the band, like split tracks we were talking about are really for if you don't have a band, you just have a choir. But we're not trying to take the band away. We're just trying to enhance, you know, how the band sounds, kind of add a neat layer. So, you know, it's always kind of fun then, too, when you're leading a song and you've got the click track playing and then this kind of sound comes out from the band and you're watching the congregation's eyes going, where did that sound come
from?
That's
right, yeah.
And they're like, wow, that was cool. So it's just, you know, adding more sense of excellence and color into these tracks. So that's really great. I think it's amazing how we can use technology to enhance our ministry of worship. And I always get excited to create resources that help small and medium-sized churches with non-professional musicians sound tight and confident. So, you know, these click tracks are great for your, you know, your big church with the full paid staff orchestra, right down to your, you know, small church guitar, piano, and someone who maybe they just play djembe or guitar or drums or something like that.
That's right. Yeah, they're pretty versatile.
So now that we have a better idea of what click tracks are and how they can be used, let's talk a bit about the technology required to actually implement click tracks into a live worship setting. This last week, Josh, I sent you by email a few samples of the click tracks that Corey was creating because I just wanted to get some feedback from my own worship pastor. And you had immediately emailed back and go, these sound really great, but you know, how many churches really know how to implement this kind of stereo sound onto a stage, because it's you know more complicated than just playing it out of a CD and having your band play along. So then I shot back to Josh and I said, well, it just so happens that on Friday we're, you know, recording a little podcast and we want to talk about exactly the answer to that question. And then lo and behold, here you are, Josh, answering your own question as a special guest on this podcast. So I'm going to actually put the first question to you because I know, Josh, that in as much as you ask the question, you're the guy that really knows the answer. And you and Corey are both, you know, so much more technically adept than even I am. I like to just get up there and play the guitar and hope everyone else, you know, knows what they're doing. But you guys, I'm really impressed and glad to have you here. So Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's involved on the sound and technical side of things so that, you know, this can all be set up.
Well, first I'll say what we run. And with running the Dr. Beat, we just run out of the phone's jack, actually. We just run a quarter inch into a DI and run it into the system. It never goes into the front of house, but it just runs into our monitors. I think, Corey, you run an Aviom system as well.
That's
so we
right,
run it
yeah.
into our in-ear monitor, so no one will ever hear it in the congregation. In terms of these split tracks or these click tracks, all you'd have to do is put it on a device that doesn't skip. We used to have we tried a CD player one time, but every time the drummer hits the kick drum, it's skipping.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
you don't
yeah,
want a
right.
click so, track that skips.
yeah,
skip track.
So, a skip track.
Yeah, it's
a hate.
Trademark that, quick.
Yeah. So we learned that one in about 5 minutes that's not going to work. I went to a mini disc player, and now we have iPods. And so you can send, you can get little, I think they're 1/8 of an inch jacks out to, there's, it goes out to 2/4 inches, run it into 2 DIs, and then you can have that run left and right. So you could actually just run it right out of an iPod that doesn't skip or a mini disc player, and you can just run that right into the system. You can mix the left into the house, and then the right, maybe it's ClickTrack or whatever it is. And you just run one to the in-ear monitors, a click into the in-ear monitors, and then you run the other one into the house. So it's actually quite easy to set up. And iPods are really inexpensive now. Mm-hmm. So it's a really inexpensive way to get your drummer on time.
Corey, I know the way you have it set up is that the drummer actually has a laptop, you know, sitting on the stand in front of his drum set. So why don't you tell us what's the drummer doing with the laptop? What program does he have? How is that laptop funneled through the sound system?
We typically do it that way. For a while I was doing it myself. I play keys, and I had this little computer, but then it is a little bit distracting for people. This, you know, the sort of the lead guy has this computer sitting beside him, so I just gave it to the drummer, and plus the fact that the drummer is responsible for counting in, so he's got a laptop. I'm just using, basically I do all these, I've done, well, most of these in Propeller Head Reason, like I was saying, the software, and then what I do though is actually I turn them into what's called export them into just a single WAV file lately, and then I just play them through like QuickTime. The key is it has to, I don't know about this iTunes, I've been using iTunes, or I tried iTunes, and I remember Ryan, I talked to you and said, oh no, you know, there's, it's not playing in stereo, or it's not separating the click and the soundtrack. For some reason my iTunes, maybe someone can help me with this, is is only playing out in mono, and so I can't actually separate the tracks. But using QuickTime, which of course is a free software, you just go and download that. And then the drummer basically has got it there. He just, I put the songs in order in these little, you know, the little windows, and he just goes and clicks play, and then he'll hear the, you know, the metronome, and off he goes.
So the drummer really is taking a kind of a leading role in the background of, you know, setting the pace of when the song is starting. And you know, for example, just thinking about the transitions between a song, because in a live setting, you're playing a song, you know, it ends, and the worship leader is maybe praying or saying something, but the drummer's just got to be in tune to know when to start that click, so that the congregation is not thinking, okay, next song,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
two-bar intro, you know, click, 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 and it just sounds so fragmented like that. But the drummer can actually have a role to make it seem seamless.
Exactly,
you know, it's a very important role. Let's talk a little bit about two types of monitoring systems, because that brings two ways to use, you know, these click tracks. There's the in-ear sound system, which is actually becoming more and more popular. We were talking about this Avion system, and actually both of you guys, I know because I've been on both of your stages, you use the same system, and I know Avion's getting out to a lot of worship conferences, and people are adapting these in-ear monitors. So the difference being that nobody is hearing the monitor sound unless you've got, you know, little earphones into you, and there's more control, I suppose, that way. And then there's the onstage speakers. So you can do it with both. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you do it. Let's start with the older style first, the onstage monitors. How do you set it up so that it works, so that you don't have this click, 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 coming out on the stage? Because obviously the congregation can hear that.
Yeah,
go ahead, tell us, Corey.
Yeah, well, what you need, if you have the kind of the more traditional approach to monitoring, is that you need to have a, basically you're sending, again, what Josh was talking about, is that you send, you have a little mini cable coming out into two quarter inch cables. And so you have to send the quarter inch, which is actually the left side, the way we have click tracks, will be always be the click. So that click needs to go to the drummer. Now the drummer will need some sort of a mixer or a headphone amplifier just to amplify that sound, also because he or she wants to hear the rest of the mix as well. So you want to make sure that he's not only hearing, you know, the click track, but he's got to hear his monitor as well, like the rest of the band. So if you just get yourself a little mixer, which you can buy for, I don't know, $60 or something, or maybe even less. Then you just plug the left channel out of your, whatever it is, your laptop or your iPod, into that little mixer, and then the drummer basically has the headphones on, and he plays to that. So he's then, in that case, he's the only one that hears the click track. So then the onus is absolutely on him or her to keep that. And again, he hears the first measure, he counts everyone in, and away they go. Everyone else, including the band, will hear the musical side of click tracks, but the drummer will be the one following the click itself.
Cool. So Josh, maybe you can tell us a little about the in-ear system. And I think since you guys both have Aviom, let's talk about, you know, how the Aviom works in particular, because it's a good example of an in-ear system. And I'll put a link to the Aviom, you know, page on the notes for this podcast if anyone wants to check out how those work. But tell us, Josh, how the Aviom works and where the click track fits in that in a worship setting.
Okay. In terms of the Aviom system, how it runs is it for us, it runs into, we have a digital mixer. So that just has cards that come out. And so everything that goes into the mixer, it could be your front of house speakers, can either run through a little box in the back that has 16 ins, or it can go into a digital board, which we have a Yamaha, and run straight out to these little mixers on the stage. And there's 16 tracks. And so in the 16 tracks, you can select whatever you want, your kick drum, your snare, whatever you want, you can select in these little monitors. And so we have the click running into the monitors. So if the drummer wants it in his headset, he can adjust the level, and so can the piano player or whatever. The only issues that we're having with it is that if you have an Aviom running, because our singers run through wedges still at the front, is that you don't want the click track coming through your wedges. And so we don't have a click track running to our singer. So it is up to our drummer to keep our tempo, which it should be anyways. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of how Aviom runs in a short little sentence there. But it's pretty much you have the ability to select whatever you want from any band member. And that's what's so great about the Aviom system.
Yeah, it's like basically every singer or instrumentalist has their own little mixer, basically. Mm-hmm. And they can say, I want to hear more of the guitar. So they just click on guitar, turn it louder. I want less of the click track. Mm-hmm. Click on the click, turn it lower or whatever.
Well, let's talk now a little bit about the rehearsal, because really the rehearsal is the place where the drummer and the entire team is going to get more confident if they are adapting these click tracks into their worship setting. So just want to talk a little bit about a few tips to having a really great rehearsal. I think the one, you know, first item I'd like to bring out is just coming prepared. You know, it used to be 20, 30 years ago, you know, someone would show up to the organist 2 minutes before and say, here's, you know, we're doing hymn number 428, 627, and 312, and let's go,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
And so now we've kind of gotten into the whole worship team thing, and people are sometimes spending, you know, 4-6 hours working on a song. I know, for example, with us, Josh, in our worship teams, we'll sometimes spend 2 weeks, you know, working on one or two songs, and we really work it, you know, and then we know it, and then we don't practice it very much after that now. So there's different ways to approach it, but the thing is, you got to come to your worship practice prepared. Like when Josh comes, he knows the song, he knows what he wants, he knows the different sections, you're familiar with the click track, you know, we're going to put in the chord charts for praise charts, we're going to put timestamps on the different sections of the song so that you can line up, you know, like at 57 seconds, that's when the chorus starts, if you need to sort of map yourself according to that. So all that to say is, don't just show up and, you know, throw the click track on kind of thing, or it's going to be a frustrating rehearsal.
Totally. And I think, I mean, another thing that you always keep in mind, we've mentioned a few times, is just have patience. You know, when beginning to use click tracks, just keep in mind that it might take a little bit to get used to. You know, after all, it's just like practicing with a metronome, which maybe most of us have done, and that takes patience too. But in the end, of course, the benefits really show themselves and become very obvious.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about drummers and talking about our drummers lead our band and they count every song in. And so we do back-to-back worship songs. We do 4 in a row or 5 in a row. And so transitions are a huge thing for us. And so that's why we really need flexibility to change between songs, because you want to have that flow. You want to have a proper transition so the church doesn't sit there in silence for 10 seconds or 5 seconds, you know? And so I think it's really important that when it comes to click tracks and stuff like that, that we just have that proper transition and the proper flow, and the drummers always count stuff in. So
Yeah, totally. And I guess the other thing I would just say is make sure that you enjoy yourself. Like, these are lots of fun. Like, we have tons of fun with them. You'll notice that there's lots in Click Tracks to complement what's already happening musically. So play along, enjoy the ride. Sometimes I think about the music as being a bit like glue. It kind of fills in some gaps, you know, that might be there in the music. And it's always fun, like you had said earlier, Ryan, just to kind of where people are like, in fact, this last Sunday, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, what was that last song you guys did? There was this certain sound that was coming out. I didn't know what that was. Where was that coming from?"
Yeah.
And then I was telling them, "Well, it came from the sequence that I put together, this Click Tracks."
You know, another element when we add in these Click Tracks is more and more sound men are actually coming to worship practice, and they are becoming a part of the worship team. It's like their instrument is the soundboard. And even so much more when you're introducing things like Click Tracks, you know, there's little elements that they can bring up and down, and just it gives so much more confidence to a team when the sound man knows, you know, what's all going on. So I think it's important to treat the sound man not like some add-on, you know, that just shows up on Sunday morning, but he's actually becomes a part of the worship team.
For sure.
And he's got a very important instrument to play, because if that click isn't coming through, you know, both for the drummer and for the congregation, you know, the soundtrack isn't properly balanced in and stuff like that. It's just it doesn't put the whole picture together. So
yeah, I think just treat the sequence like any instrument, basically, is what, for the sound guy, that's what you're doing.
All right, the last thing we want to talk about before we wrap up is having a little discussion about some of your favorite software as it relates to these tracks. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, what do you guys use in your studios? I've heard about this program called Reason. It seems to be quite a popular one. Corey, why don't you tell me how that works? And I think you're using Reason actually quite a bit to do these tracks.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a big fan of Propellerhead Reason. It's hands-on. It's easy to use. I just got it last year, and I've been doing tons and tons of stuff with it. It's basically where it's got a ton of virtual instruments that you can, that are all samples, like samples from live instruments. So there's really good quality sounds. You put them in. You basically, it's like a little studio in your computer, and you basically record. You can make them sound perfect, quantizing, which is like putting the beats together perfectly. And yeah, it's a great tool.
How about you, Josh? What are some programs you use?
We used Cubase SX3, and then it's called slaving a program. We slave it to Reason. And so actually I record all my stuff analog or digitally, but I record all my instruments into Cubase, and then I slave program Reason, so then I can run all my loops on top of the instruments I've already recorded, which is really cool. So I use Cubase SX3 and Reason. So just like Corey.
Yeah, that's cool. Right. We use SX3
there's
too.
A little program that I found on the internet actually at worshipmusic.com called the Transposer. Now, what this does is it can take any MP3 file and you can change the key or the pitch of it as well as the tempo. So it's not like you can drastically change it, you know, from the key of C to G or something like that, but if you wanted to even take one of our click tracks and, you know, say it was an A and you wanted to do it in A flat, you could bump it up or down a little bit, something like that, or change the tempo maybe just a little bit. But you can try that Transposer too, so that's kind of interesting.
Good price too. Yeah, it's nice and cheap.
Yeah, it's only $22.95, but yeah. You know, the quality is going to be impeded just a little bit. So.
That's right, yeah.
So thanks very much, Corey and Josh. You guys have been such a great inspiration, and so much knowledge that you guys have and experience. And I know behind it all, and both of you, is a real heart for worship and just, you know, bringing in the presence of God and allowing God's people to, you know, sing with all their heart, and that's really what this is all about. It's not just the technology of it, but it's what kind of foundation we can put in place to enhance our worship experience. So
that's right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right.